2. I began studying about a week ago out of Judges chapter number 7, where Gideon would go against the Midianites. Got it all studied and outlined, and God said, I want you to back up. So I said, okay, I backed up to chapter number 6 and outlined the call of Gideon. Lord said, back up. So back up to chapter number 2. God, the Holy Ghost said, this is what I want you to preach. Chapter number 2. Listen to the words of the Lord here. The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I've made you to go up out of Egypt, have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you've not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I'll not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance with Timnathheres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoke the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoil them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. On this thought, the deathbed of America. Or America needs life support. I put this flag up here that was laid over 20 years ago on my dad's coffin. He served in World War II. I did it to shock you, to make you look, to make you think, to get your mind on it. Heavenly things, to get your mind on the message that God's laid upon my heart. We see right here a rebellious people that knew not the Lord. We see it brought judgment upon them. And I wonder tonight what God thinks of America. How that America has been so blessed for over 200 years, and how that we've nation upon the earth, probably in the history of mankind. And our forefathers founded this nation upon belief in God and trust in God. They put their lives on the line for a place where they could worship and serve God and be free to do so. And God has blessed us above and beyond measure of what we deserve. But you know, I wonder tonight what God thinks of America. I know by reading this passage right here what He thought of His people Israel, and what He pronounced for them because of their disobedience and because of their idolatry, going after other gods, gods that have no eyes, that have no ears, no mouth, no hands, no feet. They can't speak. They can't do anything. I wonder what God sees in our lives. What would be upon the throne of our heart tonight as God looks upon us? Would He be upon the throne in our heart tonight, or would it be some other idol or some other thing in life? Jesus ought to be the most important thing in our life, in our home, in our heart. Listen to me, friend. We serve a jealous God tonight. He gave me this message for a purpose tonight. And I wonder tonight about America, as we look at America as a nation, I really believe that America is sick. America could possibly be on her deathbed tonight. But I tell you tonight, we can put her on life support. We as Christians have got a job that God has given us to do. Now Isaiah, if you study the book of Isaiah, you see in that passage of Scripture early on that Isaiah lays out some things that would cause the death of a nation. One of them would be spiritual apostasy. No doubt we're living in the day of apostasy of the last days that Paul wrote about. There's a turning away from God. There's a turning to the pleasures and the things of this world. People are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God in the day that we live. God has still been good to us, hasn't He? Spiritual apostasy, friend, will bring a nation down. Hey, not only that, but moral depravity. Hey, can you agree with me tonight that America morally is in worse shape than she's ever been in before? There's things that are sanctioned. There's things that are going on. There's things that are okay now that didn't used to be even spoken of. Now it's been forced upon people today to accept wicked things and wicked lifestyles. Oh, you accept it, it'll be a hate crime. Listen to me, if immoral depravity will bring a nation down. Not only that, but political corruption. Amen. I believe our government is so corrupt today, it makes me want to puke.
Amen.
Now listen, I love my country, but I hate my government. And this simply because of those that are up there running Washington, those that are in the courthouses and the courtrooms, friend, sitting in high places, friend, and the things they've brought up on America, if something don't happen, they're going to bring America down. God can't bless spiritual apostasy, moral depravity, and political corruption, friend. It's been proven in history, friend. You can look back at nations that have gone down these paths, friend. They've failed. What about us? The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. How does America think we can be the producers of sin and the promoters of sin and still have God's blessings? It don't add up. It don't work in God's equation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin brings a nation down. That's God's word. That's not my word. That's God's word. Isaiah in chapter 5, he said, "Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good." But that's where we're at today. That's where we're at today. The things that this Bible is clearly dogmatic about, friend, and God says clearly in His Word what's good and what's bad, but our government leaders believers, friend, they've reversed it. They're trying to make Christ look bad. They're trying to make this Word look bad and sin look good and right. I say, America's sick. America's sick. Listen, let's look at three things right here. And I'll try not to be long tonight in what I've got to say to you. Let's look at what God saw. Chapter 2, verse 11 said, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal." Can I tell you something? He sees it all. Hey, them little sins you got in your life that you think you got hid from everybody, hey, he sees it all. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere beholding the good and the evil, the Bible says. Nowhere you can hide and do your little sinful things, friend, that he doesn't see it. That goes for me, and it goes for you, and it goes for everybody. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. What he saw. Look, friend, he saw his people forsaking the Lord in verse 12. They forsook the Lord their God, the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them up out of Egypt. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? How does that apply to you and I? That, hey, the Bible clearly tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, friend, that these things, that the things of the Old Testament are given to us as an example and an admonition to us. It's to admonish us. It's to shake us and wake us, friend, and make us do right. God looked upon his people that he brought up out of Egypt. 400 years under bondage, friend, under the taskmasters over in Egypt. God delivered them from that. He brought them up out of Egypt, and now they're forsaking him. Shame on them. Shame on us if we forsake the Lord our God for bringing us out of bondage. We ought to serve him gladly. We ought to serve him every chance we get. We ought to love him. Hey, listen, friend. It's our obligation to. Don't forget. Don't forsake him. Don't turn your back on God, friend. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. We ought to be drawn closer to God each and every day of our life, friend. We ought not to be turning our back on him, friend. We ought to have a hunger and a thirst in our soul to serve him for what he did for. What he saw his people forsaken. Said so in his word. Not only that, but he saw a forgetting of his works. He said, "I'll call the generation that were gathered unto their fathers, those there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." My goodness! What a blessing. He blessed them with the land of promise, the land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He delivered them from bondage. He brought them to that land flowing with milk and honey, friend. And he even promised that he'd drive out the inhabitants for them. They just be obedient. But now, they've forgotten his words. Look with me in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you would, just for a minute. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, in verse 12. Here's some commands that God was giving to his people. He said, "Beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." What was going to make them forget? The blessings of God. Full houses. Houses that they didn't build. And wells that they didn't dig, vineyards, olive trees that you didn't plant, and you'll eat and you'll be full and you'll forget me. He said, you better beware not to forget who's give you all the things you've got. But there arose a generation that knew not the Lord, neither the works that he'd done for Israel. Looks to me like there was a parental failure somewhere there. Amen? The generation had passed away. There arose a new generation that knew nothing about the Lord. as a failure in the home. If you go back to that Deuteronomy chapter 6 and read the first parts of it, he commands them to teach your children diligently. He didn't say just bring them to church on Sunday morning, send them off to Sunday school. He said teach them in your house. Amen. Wonder what the next generation is going to be like when we pass on. I wonder why you can get out on Sunday morning and head to church and you see people out mowing their grass and heading to the lake with their boat and everything else under the sun, friend. They don't know anything about the Lord. And they don't know anything about eternity, friend. They don't know. I don't reckon that they're going to have to stand before God one day and give an account. Somebody has failed somewhere in teaching their children. Listen, what God saw, he saw a forsaking of the Lord, a forgetting of his works, and he saw a following of other gods. Back in Deuteronomy, friend, right here. Back in Deuteronomy, verse number 14 and 15. He said, ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Strong word, dude. You know, I listen to politicians make their speeches. They make all kind of promises. And usually at the end of their speech, they'll say, and God bless America. Why don't somebody get up there with guts and fall on their face and say, we're going to pray, America. We need God back in our land. We need God back in our schools. We need God back in our home, friend. We need the power of God to keep us and to direct us. Gutless, spineless politicians think they can do it all. All they can do is tell a bunch of lies. They ain't able to keep one single promise that they make. Following other gods. Let me tell you something, friend. America has got enemies tonight that all around the world hates us. Hates us. We've got terrorists that are crossing the borders coming into America. It's proven. Proven fact that they're here in our country right now. Heard a man yesterday say, it's just a matter of time till there's a catastrophic event done by terrorists in this country, such as a small atomic bomb, a dirty bomb that will kill thousands upon thousands of people. And he said, maybe then that'll get somebody's attention. You remember 9/11? You remember a shock to America? That shock lasted for maybe a week. Maybe 2 weeks. I remember the Sunday following that 9/11 event. Man, they wasn't a place in the house to find a seat. There was people that I'd never seen before coming into the house of God. But after they got over there, I ain't seen them since. God could bring America down just as easily as he brought her up. Following other gods. We got enemies without that would attack like a roaring lion if they could. We got enemies within, like a slithering serpent. The devil is like a friend. He's leading America down a road of depravity, destruction, with his lies and with his deeds. We better wake up. Righteousness exalts a nation. It starts with God's people. forsaken of the Lord, forgetting His works, following other gods, but a fear that died. They quit fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? What the Bible says. I wonder, do we fear God anymore? Do we fear the wrath and judgment of God anymore? I don't think leadership in our country does. If they did, they'd seek His face. They'd turn from things that they are establishing this and sanctioning in this country, and they'd seek God's face, I believe. Not only have fear has died, but faith has died. Where's the old men that founded this country, friend, that put their lives on the line, friend, and they put their faith in God, they trusted God that He would do what they had prayed and asked for? God come through and answered their prayers. Man, if a man expresses faith in the Lord, he's shunned, he's ridiculed, he's mocked. Politicians are scared to mention the Lord. They'll mention God. That covers all the little g gods and just all the gods. Anybody wants to serve. But there's one Lord. One Lord. Let me tell you, when fear and faith dies, when it dies in a country, you become a birthing place. You become a womb. The birthing of wickedness. That's where we're at today. Hard message, isn't it? I love my country. And I wish it could get back to where it ought to be. Listen. The Bible says the wicked should be turned into hell. And every nation. I close. God. When God said yes and that. Hey, Israel crossed the line with God, didn't it? He scattered them to the four corners of the earth. For 2,500 years they were not a nation. But He remembered His covenant as He said. He brought them back together. We don't have that covenant. We don't have that promise. If we get overtaken, if we're overtaken, God hasn't promised us that He put us back. Listen, what God saw, look what God said. Chapter 2, verse 2. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you've not obeyed my voice. Look what He said. Why have you done this? Why have you done this? Why have you been disobedient? Why didn't you listen to my commands? Why? Why do we do what we do? Why do we allow things in our home that we allow? It's crept in. Little by little by little. Things that you watch on your TV now. Things that come through the TV set. When I was a kid sitting with my mom and daddy, it would have been a total shame. They wouldn't have sat through it, they'd have cut it off. All kind of immorality, homosexuality, every kind of depraved thing going on in the world is promoted through your television set. Jay, you better watch what you're letting your kids feed on. I know that ain't popular. I can't help it. It's the truth. What God said. What He said, friend, He said, I bought you. In verse number 1, He said, I brought you up out of Egypt and I brought you to the land which I swear unto your fathers. And He said, I'll never break my covenant. It's good to be saved, isn't it? It's good to be sealed in it. I'm glad you can't lose your salvation. I'm glad there's a blood covenant through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you save, you seal for eternity. We've got that to be thankful for. But he said, I bought you from the slave box of Egypt, friend. And he said, I blessed you. I brought you to the land flowing with milk and honey. You know, we're so blessed. We're spoiled. We've got 10 times more than what our grandfathers and great-grandfathers ever dreamed of having. Yet we're never satisfied. The more we get, the more we want. We don't look at what we've got, we look at what somebody else has got and wish we had that too. Ain't that the truth? Well, we got the blessings of God all around us. He said, I bought you and I blessed you. Now here's where I want to get to. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Deuteronomy 28. I don't like a whole lot being through here, folks, but I want you to see this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said, I'll bear you. Notice what he said. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if, big word right there, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Lord, I ain't going to read all of it for the sake of time. But God lays out his blessings, multiple blessings that he promises them if they'll just be obedient to his commands of dirt to do all the commandments which I command you this day. If you'll not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. He said, I'll bear you. I'll keep you. I'll deliver you from your enemies. I'll bless you in the land which I've given you. But you've got to be obedient. You can't go after other gods and expect the God of heaven to bless you. Not only in this chapter did he promise to bear them, friend, but he promised he'd bury them. In the same chapter right here, look at verses 15 and 16. He said, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be in the basket, and thy store. Curse, curse, curse. Strong words that God had to say to his people. He said, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Can't get any plainer than that, can you? God bless America. But America has forsaken God as a whole. I know there's still some people serving the Lord. But I think we are very much a minority. I'm preaching about the deathbed of America. Or America needs life support. She's sick. Not only what God saw, what God said, but what God sent. He sent a messenger. The messenger was the angel of the Lord. Theophany, an appearing of the Lord himself. He delivered the word. Listen, we've got the completed word right here. We're not stupid. We know what God expects out of us. We know how we ought to live our life. We know how we ought to walk. how we ought to do by this book right here. We've heard enough preaching in this place right here to save the world. We as Christians right here, we ought to know how we ought to behave ourselves and how we ought to live. God help us. He sent a messenger. He sent a message. He said, if you don't, you know, he said, there's only a right way and a wrong way. The right way brings blessings. The wrong way brings chastisement. It brings the hand of God upon you in judgment. Why? Have you done this? Why have you done this? He said, what God sent, a messenger with a message. But you know, I see something else about the Lord all throughout His Word. All throughout God's Word. One other thing He sends before He brings judgment. Mercy. He always has offered mercy. God said in His Word, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why saved us? Why sent Jesus to the cross to die for a wicked world? Wicked people like you and me. He offered mercy. Listen, America needs life support. You believe that tonight? Can I tell you something? The born-again people of God have that life support. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people, if, there's that word if my people, which are called by my name, we call ourselves Christians, don't we? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he said, I'll hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. There is the life support tonight that America needs. God's people need to turn from their wicked ways. God knows all of us. He's a searcher of hearts tonight. We got nothing hid from Him. Hey, we ought to humble ourselves for the generation that's coming up behind us, friend. All these little kids that we sent downstairs, friend, they need to see a people that loves the Lord, that's serving God, not only in the church house, but down at your house, all the way to the White House. Yeah.